have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And we are a basketball podcast, but as of late October here, we are still a football school for at least one more week, coming off a 9 overtime victory over number 7 Penn State in Happy Valley. We all thought that by now we would be gung-ho, full speed ahead on basketball, but turns out we're still a football school at least through Saturday afternoon, right?
Yeah, it's still football season. We figured it might have been everyone's looking on to the St. Francis game on Saturday, looking on to Jackson State later on. But
don't forget Indiana PA exhibition.
I would never. But it was definitely an awesome Saturday. Three Illini wins. And also, that Penn State game was just the most beautiful, ugly thing I've ever seen in my life. Very reminiscent of the Illinois-Penn State basketball game that was 38-33 when we were ranked and they beat us. So nice to get a little revenge there. Shout out Taylor Battle. I think Chester Frazier led our team in scoring that game with 7 points.
That's extremely impressive. That's really hard to do.
To be honest, we are, as the basketball podcast, we purposely released a Tyler Underwood interview after we lost to UTSA, who is still undefeated, by the way,
ranked.
Let that be known. So they're ranked and undefeated. So good for them. But we did release that purposely. So we were looking forward like right away.
Yeah, we bought the field pass. A few more weeks of relevancy. You're welcome.
Yeah, so I guess at least for now we are a football school, but we know that there is obviously a hunger to talk about basketball as we are officially 1-0, right? I'm not sure if the record books will show the... Did the record...
It will not show up in KenPom.
It will not show up in... Okay. RPI? No.
No.
Net?
Maybe.
Okay, maybe net. After a 101-34 victory over St. Francis, our favorite thing, of course, is that let's completely overreact to everything that we saw from the exhibition here and talk about it just for a couple minutes here. We've been waiting for months to see Illinois basketball. For fans to see guys like Curbelo for the first time in person... at home. So let's overreact for a couple minutes and just run with it and pretend like what we saw on Saturday night is all going to continue indefinitely into the season.
Josh, you do have the floor. The three of us are a little cheap and don't have BTN Plus, but we did get the full game recap from Josh.
It's hilarious that you three can't split the $10 subscription when you guys are all in the same house. And you also have another roommate. But what I will say is, first, there is a hit out on, I think, the center that got into it with Kofi, and also the guard who need Curbelo in the balls. That's my main takeaway. That guy should just watch his back.
Is he the one who Curbelo helped up? I saw that awesome clip of sportsmanship.
He even could. I did not connect the two dots. I need to review the tape, but okay. It could have been the same exact person who need Curbelo in the balls, and then he could have picked him up. But that just shows how great. For the story, let's just say it was Curbelo. Okay. It was the same person.
I am checking out the box score here on Illinois basketball's website. Number 30. So it has the names, of course, the players. Number 33's name is just a comma. He had 17 minutes. He was 1-for-4, 0-for-3 from the three-point line. He had 2 points. Not sure, number 33. His name is just a comma. Fran, do you or Josh, do you have any takeaways from number 33? Again,
I
named comma, not even COMMA, just the actual punctuation mark comma.
I would assume he has a turnover because it seemed like our defense was stifling. Like every single person, I would say, played great defense. There wasn't someone who I was like, oh wow, they're not trying on defense. So credit to our team for playing great defense. My main takeaways from the game, I really didn't want to have a full on like this guy looks amazing. The ones that I've seen and the ones that I felt were Hutch. He played basketball and he played it at a good level, but I don't really want to go overhyped. I've always been on, let's stay calm about Hutch since he hasn't played basketball in now, what is it? 2 full seasons. So I never thought he was going to start. Still don't think he's going to start. We can go into our future lineups predictions, but I'm pretty sure the 5 that we saw first from Brad on Saturday is going to be the 5 that we'll see. the freshmen all looked like they belong on this team. I wouldn't say they're all going to be big contributors. That's kind of all the main things that I really did want to see, was see what Hutch looked like, see what the three freshmen looked like. And yeah.
Yeah. And it seemed like Omar Payne seemed good as advertised in terms of his length.
Yeah.
Hopefully Coleman Hawkins, like we're all kind of projecting like our feelings on players based off their performance. I will say Trent Frazier getting 6 steals in a game is pretty freaking awesome. So love to see
yeah.
that. And love to see your senior who started like what 120 games is still taking this exhibition game seriously because he wants to be the Big Ten defensive player of the mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. I also like on the flip side that Plummer went 0-for-2 from the three and that Curbelo had 5 turnovers. I feel like both of those guys just like keep them honest because I know Plummer's a lights out shooter and Curbelo like wants to work on just keeping care of the ball. So I feel like for those ones, Brad's kind of happy that they didn't have their perfect game just so he can kind of like rag on them in practice.
I did see Brad, a clip of Brad like yelling in the second half when there was like 5 minutes left and Illinois is up 70. And I do love some of the coach speak going into these games, these exhibition games or these initial games where there's obviously a big talent discrepancy. And it reminds me of in the start of the year, I talked about this with Johnny, where Nick Saban, the Alabama, they're playing Mercer and he's talking about the Mercer offense. And he goes, they do certain things offensively. And it's like, yes, Mercer, they certainly do things offense. They do have an offense. And it's just kind of this coach speak where it's like, yeah, we're going to say, hey, this team has players, right? And sort of just finding ways to almost hype your players up or not belittle or demean the opponent by any means. But this time of year sort of brings out some of these funny quotes or, you know, coaches have to find a way to kind of rah-rah their players up, even an exhibition up 65.
And then the other two takeaways that people are going to talk about is Kofi hit a jumper. And that was obviously a clip that was sent out by Illinois basketball Twitter and Instagram. But like Kofi's going to hit a million jumpers in his lifetime playing open gyms. And that's what it kind of felt like. I don't want to overreact to that, as well as Curbelo hitting a three. Everyone's like, oh, he got the shot. Well, no, again, open gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's very fair. They're like open gym. It would have better competition than some of these guys.
Sometimes,
But hey, like sometimes all you need is just see it happen in the State Farm Center against guys with other jerseys. I would honestly say one of the biggest takeaways, I'm just very happy that that game happened Saturday night so you could have the huge ovation for the football players. Like, love to treat That's those awesome. Guys like almost like war heroes coming back from overseas and just like give them the attention that they deserve after like a road win is awesome and it's more impressive than a home win. But at the same time, it's like kind of a bummer you don't get to storm the field or whatever. Yeah. So glad they kind of got their celebration and also glad the current basketball players got to kind of get the feeling of what it's like in the State Farm Center yeah. after last year not having any fans.
Yeah, according to Illinois' website, which is probably inflated, there were almost 13,000 fans there. Great
That's
turnout.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that including like the football team? Like, are we including those guys? Like, do we know if Max Rosenthal was at the game? Or?
I don't know if he was.
Is okay. he injured? By the way,
yeah. He's not even in the top three of the fullbacks. Yeah, we're getting off topic here. We're getting off topic. So yes, your next opportunity to face or to watch the Fighting Illini, which typically two exhibition games. I can't recall two exhibition games. Maybe because they don't have a secret scrimmage this year, and
yeah,
usually and have like
it
a
was
secret
it was
scrimmage.
Talked about. It was talked about. Brad was like, I want two experiences for all my players who haven't played in front of fans the last year,
gotcha.
To play in front of fans so that they have that experience rather than going to play someone probably of equal competition. I think there was a rumor of us playing Kansas, but Brad would prefer playing in front of fans.
Sure, that's fair.
I'm going to be in the boat of I would rather play Kansas in a secret scrimmage, but hey, that's just
the secret. That's Jalen Coleman.
Brad, knows,
I was also,
Brad knows more than me, though.
I was also thinking it could be a revenue thing, like they want all that like that
sure.
ticket
13,000 is a lot after yes a year of no fans. So your next opportunity, again, someone explain to me Indiana parentheses PA Pennsylvania. Does someone want to explain?
Yeah,
to me
so
how-
they're in Pennsylvania, but they're called.
Indiana. What don't you get?
I nothing, Josh. I don't understand anything about Indiana being located in Pennsylvania. Nothing about
what
that.
What about St. Francis being in two separate locations?
You know what? I'll defer to the professionals here. So Friday night, 7 p.m., BTN Plus. And then we kick off the actual regular season November 9th, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central against Jackson State. Okay, so I think that's probably good in regards to the game. I do think it's, we could maybe touch upon real quick the, some of these rankings came out today in terms of KenPom, so we're number 5, T-Rank, Robert tweeted this today, number 5, this Evan Meyer ranking, I'm not familiar with this, number 3, but I think what's even more interesting is the individual player rankings. It's pretty freaking cool that Kofi is ranked the number 1 player in the country. Curbelo 16, Trent 54, and Grandison with the eyeball emoji there, 81. A lot to sort through there. But that's pretty fun to say we have arguably the best player in college basketball this year.
Is that KenPom? I didn't say that.
This is Evan Miyakawa's preseason ratings. Again, I haven't heard of this before. It seems pretty reputable here.
Yeah, no, he's like a big stats guy.
Statistics, he was, PhD used candidate. Stuff
last year. And yeah, I mean, love to see Kofi getting that. That recognition. I think the advanced numbers love him because his field goal percentage is through the roof. And when you play the strength of schedule Illinois played last year, that kind of lends itself well. What I thought was interesting was I think Jaden Ivey was maybe like 60 in the 60s, which that's why that's interesting, maybe in a good way, but also like, maybe it's. It's more of like a what have you done for me in the past as opposed to projections where it's like, yeah, Jaden Ivey was a all freshman team, but now he just led Team USA U18 team and is gonna be a first team all Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Johnny, I think I can tell already you think Purdue is going to be the best team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I would say Purdue and Illinois. Not buying Michigan
not
as
Michigan.
Much. Not buying Ohio State as much. I think it's a two-horse race.
You have been pretty high on Purdue all this offseason. You've talked about it. And I think you can as objectively as possible, you can probably back that up. They've got a lot of returning talent. Got a lot of guys coming in.
Everyone's
coming back. They got dudes coming in. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, exactly. And they kind of have strengths where everyone has strengths in terms of they've got the big men, Travion and Edie. But then I don't know if there's quite like a wing like.
Right. Do they have that typical wing guy?
Well, no, I'm saying they do with Jaden Ivey. And I don't know like some of the other top teams like Michigan, really good talent. But like it takes freshmen a while to get used to the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And I think Dickinson, you know, similar to like Kofi, they're going to be great players. I don't know how much they're going to change from one year to the next. So that's why when you're already replacing Franz Wagner, who's a lottery pick, you're replacing Livers, who is a stud. Like, they've got a lot to show
point,
us.
The point guard, sorry.
Mike Smith, big
Smith,
hair.
Yes.
Short guy.
Is he back?
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
They got some other, like, yeah. Coastal Carolina or Mike Lafayette, Smith. some transfer who's probably going to be good, but...
Eli Brooks is still there. Yeah. He's 100 years old.
He is, but like, give me Trent Frazier over him every time.
Yeah.
I agree.
We get him home and home, Purdue, this year. We get, you know, they're one of the two teams, or the teams we play twice. So we get him January 17th and February 10th at Purdue.
I would like to say, even though it was probably 0% our doing or my personal doing, but we got Orange Crush to be home. Like it's technically during winter break, but they're selling Orange Crush tickets for that game and then Michigan. It would have been really bad on our end if we were having like when you always watch those like winter break games and like you have parents sitting behind the basket. Behind the benches. Those are always the worst.
Brutal. Yeah. And you always miss, I remember as a college student, you're watching in your basement and you just miss being back in Champaign. Like, man, when can I go back to school? And you just wish that it was Orange Crush. And hey, props to us. Well, Josh, I'll give you that. Good job. That was
no,
us.
No, I deserve all the credit.
Absolutely.
No, I was just going to say freshman year, we step off campus and immediately beat ranked Maryland, but it's fine.
Yes, immediately. Absolutely. So maybe not. Maybe Orange Crush is...
Those parents... They know it, man. They've seen some stuff.
Absolutely. It's going to be a tight race at the top of the Big Ten again, like last year. Okay, so any other like personal expectations? I know Johnny sort of talked about how you certainly expect to compete for the title, regular season and tournament. Any other expectations that we all have? I think everyone's expectation is to certainly compete for the conference and obviously make it a lot further than last year. I think from the moment the last season ended, we acknowledged the team could be worse next year and you could win an extra tournament game and make it farther than you did last year. But the expectations have got to be equivalent or higher than they were last year. They just have to be.
Well, yeah, I guess if you talk about expectations as saying like expectations compared to being in the second round and losing, like sure. I think expectations last year were we are a national title contender, and I would maybe take a step back and say like we're more of an Elite Eight sort of team, which is not a bad thing. It's a great thing to have that after being a one seed and losing a national player of the year candidate in Iota Sumu. I would say the big thing is just like, let's just keep this train rolling, be very consistent, and kind of like have this be one of those years where, like you see with other programs, it's not their best team, but they just like find a way to win in the tournament. Yeah. And that's what would be really special.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And just like, I feel like the barometer is always like, be a three seed. I would love to just be a top three seed, avoid the one seed in the Sweet 16 game, and give yourself a chance.
Avoid the eight seed.
My one thing relating to that is just be consistent. Like, I really didn't care where the AP wanted to rank us. Like, the KenPom rankings preseason obviously don't, and all the other analytics, they mean something. But like, as Johnny was saying about Jaden Ivey, like it all takes in part of like previous statistics, like nothing that's actually done this year. I just care about the tournament now. I've realized that the regular season AP ranking will have no effect on how happy I am. Like, I'm not going to get triggered if we're ranked below certain teams, even though we might have beaten them. Like, none of that matters to me. My personal expectations for the regular season are beat Missouri. We haven't done it in 3-4 years. I just want to beat Missouri.
Okay. Are they supposed to be good this year? Speaking of predictions,
no more Mark Smith.
KenPom 96.
Okay.
Which, yeah, that really is a game.
I know it's so silly to say this, but I hate that it's so cliche, like throughout the record books, but the last several years, Illinois on paper and on record has been the better team, and then you lose the game. So they were not prepared, or whatever you want to call it. It was one of the most frustrating games 2 years ago. I don't even care where they're ranked. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's weird, especially because we were looking at Brad Underwood's contract. I think he has like a $15,000 bonus if we beat Missouri. So like, you would think you'd almost be like pressuring your players even more. Like, we got to win this game. And
Missouri, Indiana, and Northwestern, I believe.
Yeah, weird. The Indiana the one, I guess. Yeah, it kind of makes sense. But either way, they've always seemed to kind of come out flat. And last year was a little bit of an exception when it's at Mizzou instead of a neutral game. But that's one thing I'm really kind of looking for, like we talked about with consistency. One thing that Brad's teams have done the past few years is they start out slow in the non-con and early Big Ten. So not starting 9-5 would be really nice to just win a lot of these high major games. And you have a very interesting schedule, and that it lines up where you're not playing anyone amazing. You're playing some power five or high major teams, but like everyone's beatable.
Yeah,
so what if you just went undefeated or lost one game? That'd be really nice.
Yeah, I'll just kind of read it off real quick. So just to remind her, as most people know. So after Jackson State, I'll kind of the high major. So Marquette, that's going to be a fun one in Milwaukee. Cincinnati, will we play either Arkansas or Kansas State there? Notre Dame is our Big Ten ACC challenge. Kind of a bummer, a little bit. Of course, the home and home with Arizona this time.
Actually good. Notre Dame's good this year.
Yeah, they should be a little their best team they've had in years. Mike Bray, and then
Mizzou. It might be a net 30 game, I think. Which is big.
Yeah. Wait, no.
Quad one.
I meant that. That's what I meant.
Is it at home, though?
It's versus Notre Dame. It's in Champaign.
Oh, is it? Maybe not. Okay.
Monday at 8, November 29th. And then Arizona versus Arizona. And then neutral site against Missouri. And so we sort of talking about, like, yeah, what are sort of our non-conference expectations here? I think by this point in the Brad Underwood era, with this many experienced guys, you no more coming out flat. No more excuses. You're ready to go. It's every game you look like you are ready to compete against these high major teams, and the expectation should be to win every single one of these games. There's no reason, you know, you're home versus Cincinnati, you're at what's Marquette looking like this year? I'm not sure.
I mean, it's weird because Shaka Smart's there, so right.
new coach,
new roster,
takes a little bit of time.
They lose Dawson Garcia.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at the AP poll now. I think only one of those teams who even received votes, none of them are top 25, is Arizona. So Marquette, no AP top 25 votes. Cincy, none. Arizona, the only one in their not top 25.
You got to think their football team is going to maybe bleed over into their basketball team losing 20 in a row. So I think, again, trying to put bias aside here, every single game, the expectation is to win. You'll probably be favored in every single one of those games, I would imagine. I would imagine you'll be favored at Marquette. I can't see you. I would imagine you'd be favored first Notre Dame versus Missouri, neutral site Missouri, 96th KenPom.
KenPom has us going, has us favored in every single game, well, like greater than 50% in every single game up until Maryland on January 21st at Maryland.
Is this the same guy who said we were going to go like 9-8 and the rest of conference when we talked
to
him?
Yeah, maybe we
year?
Don't trust him. Yeah. Made it one, my one thing that
no,
I do.
No, time out though. When we talked to him, he was like, yeah, you know, you guys have a really tough path, but like my metrics still think you're like a top 10 team.
I'm just ragging on him a little
bit. No,
right?
But like, and then we ended up playing like a top 10 team the rest of the way. Right. So right. Like, shout out our boy Ken for, he was like
we'll get him
low
on
us.
To rag him.
He was low on us in terms of like, what our record might be, but more saying like this is a good team. It's just you've had some unlucky losses, and then the rest kind of materialized. Yeah. Sorry, Josh, what were you going to say?
The one thing I do like around this time going into non-con season, I always kind of like to see who we're playing and maybe if that team that we are playing has a guard that's under 5'10". And the oh no that I had right before this podcast was I found one. On St. Francis, Pennsylvania's lineup, they have a 5'8 point guard. Luckily, he's only a freshman, so I don't know if he's in the lineup, but he is 5'8. So
how many
that is something Francis's? I did notice.
What do you, can we? Okay, so yes, I also am just curious, like the record for different St. Francis a team has ever played in a given season. We got to be tying it with two.
Is there also a St. Francis in New York, too?
We got to get him on the schedule. We got to get him.
Right.
Yeah, we got to get him on the schedule.
Right in the MIAC.
Yeah, Josh, should we talk about those shorter than average point guards that have sort of Winthrop, you know,
Winthrop.
Who was that guy
Miami,
who was leading the league in score the college basketball in scoring a couple of years ago? I think it was our senior year.
Was that the dude from Campbell?
It was some non-conference school. He ended up probably putting up like 30 on us. We still won. But again, this shorter point guard who's like just throwing them up and knocking them down. So yes, every year there is like a stud guy. I guess last year, Jason Preston doesn't count. He's actually really
NBA
good.
Player Jason
NBA
Preston.
NBA player Jason, love that guy by the way. NBA player Jason Preston does not count. But yeah, so look out for the other St. Francis game on Saturday, December 18th at noon because they do have that one player, Josh. So very fair.
I also just don't. One thing with these expectations, no Nickel State games, no Ohio games. Like, let's just beat the teams you're supposed to beat by, like, a reasonable margin. I guess this is, like, major spoiled fan right now about saying, like, I don't want to even face adversity at all during this non-conference. But we're getting to the point now where we have high expectations for Illinois basketball, you know?
It's sort of like if you were like the number 7 ranked football team in the school, in the country, and then you're facing like a 2-4 Illinois team, something like that, you know? Just like you'd expect to destroy them, right?
Right, right.
100%. And that was one of our favorite things after that game was still seeing guys on Twitter being like, oh, well, there was a block in the back on that play. Or this.
You're a 23-point like, favorite. There is not one play that you can ever
Penn
look
State
back on it.
Home.
Yes. Like, there is no excuse. It doesn't matter if Chase Brown should have been not down by contact there in the fumble. It doesn't matter if Sean Clifford dropped the 2-point conversion that would have won the game. When you're a 3.5 whatever touchdown favorite at home, you can never point to one play and say that this is the reason. But we will feed on those tears. I guess, speaking of that, is there like a trap game that you see in this non-con? Like, you know, 4 days before Mizzou, we have that St. Francis game. Or, you know, 3 days before Marquette, we have Arkansas State. Is there anything on this schedule that sort of scares you, at least in the non-con? Or right after Mizzou, we have Florida A&M, who their mascot looks like a dinosaur but is actually a rattlesnake.
I would say there's one game that might be a trap, and it's not on our schedule, but if we were to play Kansas State, because Mark Smith, undefeated against Illinois.
Or
Bruce Weber, revenge game. But I would actually love to play those guys. That'd be a nice, like, final close the book on those two guys and just be like, all right,
Trent's not
we're in a good spot. Yeah, Trent would love to play Mark's God.
I do kind of want Arkansas, KK, and just like the challenge.
No, but it would definitely be better for a resume to play Arkansas to beat them, because then that's like you did beat a legit team in your non-conference versus some of these other teams are good, not great basketball teams.
Yeah. Should be a fun non-conference. Should be fun. Fans in the stands, fans in the buildings, legitimate tournaments. It's pretty exciting. So yeah, again, non-conference. Let's look competent. With arguably the number one and the number 16 player in the country. Should we, of course, you know, we talked hot takes with St. Francis. Should we just talk a little bit, any hot takes on players? I know we've got guys who've been around for 5-6 years. I'm not sure how hot we have to go or if anyone wants to make any bold proclamations about a guy like Hutcherson or a guy, a freshman, you know, playing like 12 minutes a game or anything like that that we can, you know, put in the clippings there.
I have one. Oh, I was going to say, I think my only, maybe not bold proclamation, but if a team stops Andre Curbelo, I do think you're in some trouble. Like, a guy like Kofi Coburn, he can kind of only score. He's really good at scoring, but can only score in one way. You've got to get the ball to him. I don't know if there's anyone who really, like, runs the floor the way Andre Curbelo does, so I think that can kind of, like, throw your offense out of rhythm, and I'm really curious to see what a guy like Alphonso Plummer does with those backup minutes.
Yeah, do we lack like a second slasher? Like, that was what was nice with... Oh, I mean, that's the big question mark, right? Like, because Io, when he went down, then you have Curbelo take the leader when Io's out the court. Obviously, Trent can do that. We've seen freshman Trent sometimes be able to do that, but he's not quite as consistent as someone like Curbelo, like we would expect. So that'll be interesting to see how that offense flows.
Okay, so who are the four people that are carrying the ball? It's in order. It would go Curbelo, then Trent, Plummer, Hutch, or in something like that. So what? Am I missing someone there? I don't think so.
I saw someone's practice notes that said Plummer not as much on the ball. I think probably just because he'll be playing with another guy, whether it's Trent or whether it's Curbelo. But I did see that Pajimski is doing a little bit of ball handling.
Pajimski. Yeah.
Brandon.
Freshman.
Some people just call him Pods, which I actually think isn't a terrible idea given he does have a little bit of that like shot creation ability. Now, can it translate to doing in the Big Ten? Maybe, maybe not. But he does kind of give you a different look as opposed to RJ and Goody, who are more like, okay, wings who can kind of shoot off the catch, as opposed to he seems like maybe he can score off the dribble a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Another hot take. It's not my hot take. It has come up in maybe, let's call it the Illini Boardroom Podcast group chat. It's that someone is nervous about DeMonte's usage.
The Illini Boardroom. Is that us?
No, the Illini Board podcast. Mm-hmm. So us and
Illini
podcast.
Board podcast.
Oh, okay.
IB Corp.
Yeah.
So
what's the take?
He thinks that DeMonte's usage, well, he just says DeMonte's usage scares me. Like, okay, he thinks DeMonte's going to be used too much. What is our response to said person?
Whose minutes would he be taking is my initial question.
I think it's more of like shots as opposed to minutes, but I think his fear is you can't replicate his shooting season from last year, and some reports about him maybe taking it to the bucket a little bit as opposed to just being kind of a 3-and-D guy. But I would say I don't worry at all about DeMonte Williams. Like, he's going to make open shots. He's going to play defense. He's going to, like, know when to cut. Like, I don't know. He's a fifth-year senior. Like, don't worry about him. Worry about some of the other guys.
Since January of 2019, I was going to say, like, right.
January 2020?
No. January 2020, yeah. He's been exactly what we want him to be as a player. And he hasn't changed. He's been so consistent at his role. If he's maybe driving, that's a little bit different. But he's done his role exactly what Brad has asked. I think I trust him more than any new freshman that would come in. I trust him more than Hutch because Hutch hasn't proved in anything. I always need to make that clear, but yeah.
Well, in the St. Francis game.
I trust him more.
He'll be saying that in the Elite Eight. Well, if you look back,
trust him more than Coleman. Like Coleman, ton of upside. Still trust DeMonte. I would say I still trust him more than Grandison. Grandison's been great, but the defense is a little bit more of a question mark as DeMonte. And DeMonte has shown too, like whether he's coming off the bench or starting, like he'll give you that consistency that you need. And I think when that take was said, I looked up the stats. Illini last year were 9-0 in games where DeMonte shot five or more times. So obviously, like, it's a little skewed because we won a lot of games last year, so you're more likely to win
when you run
game
with DeMonte. You're more likely 20 times or more.
Exactly. But once again, not too concerned about him.
He's a fifth-year senior. I feel like from a respect standpoint, until he doesn't do any of what we just talked about, he's earned that respect of, like, yeah, we will trust him. He's been around for a long time. His shooting has gotten better each year. His three-point percentage has basically doubled each year to the point where he's going to shoot 140% this year. I feel like he's earned that respect until someone takes those minutes and those shots away from him.
Yeah, I think Brad knows exactly what he's going to get from him. I think DeMonte knows exactly like what those kind of up-and-down situations are with Brad. I'm excited to have three pretty legit three-point shooters on the floor pretty much at all times, like whether it's Grandison, DeMonte, Plummer, Trent. And excited for Curbelo to be in that mix because
he hit one, but also I think
he can really just maximize like a guy like DeMonte's 3-point shooting ability. I think Brad knows exactly what he's getting with DeMonte and hopefully with Grandison.
Yeah, and I think part of DeMonte's early struggles were confidence. Like it seemed like as a freshman, as a sophomore, he didn't have confidence in his body fully recovering from the ACL and some of the shooting. Like he just wasn't taking that many shots, so he was just kind of worried when he was shooting. Like now you've gone through so many battles. Like DeMonte is just a confident dude. He knows his role and he's embraced that. And yeah, I'm very interested to see too, Sam, kind of going off of that. We had a low like amount of 3-point shot attempts last year, and it seems like the focus is a little bit take more threes because we have so many good 3-point shooters. So it'll be interesting to see the spacing with Plummer because he seems like he's electric from a long distance. And also, I mean, you expect Trent and DeMonte to be near that 40% range. And yeah, I mean, if Curbelo can be a 3-point shooter, then you're really
don't let Coleman stretch the floor from the five. No. That could be an issue.
Well,
I was gonna say,
like, when you have arguably the best player in college basketball, who is a big man in the center of the court, and then you have to stretch your defenders have to stretch the court because they can shoot threes. What does that do for Kofi naturally? What does that open up for him naturally? Whereas last year he had to maybe create a little bit more because those 3-pointers weren't falling and they could sag a little bit off the 3-point shooters. If you have to face guard those 3-point shooters, what's that going to open up for Kofi? That's pretty exciting to think about.
Yeah, and
credit to me for not bringing up any Derrick Henry like similes here or metaphors.
Anyways, Johnny, you were saying.
Yeah, no, what I was going to say too is what's great when those guys are face guarding is that means there's less help defenders for Andre Curbelo to kind of do what he does best. So it hopefully the offense all works off of each other. And that's where if you can blend in like a Hutch or a Coleman, like if you can go 1-for-2 on one of those guys and one of them ends up being a stud, then you're really like you're in business.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Any other takes on our guys? Shout out Dan for angering Josh on DeMonte.
There was some talk from maybe someone named Sam saying he didn't like what he was hearing about DeMonte.
What?
No. You were agreeing with all of us. You were on our side, that DeMonte.
Sam's eyes lit up.
It wasn't just me. Don't blame me for being the one that is calling him out. I'm just saying what Sam said.
Oh, yeah, no. The calling out anonymous Dan, yeah.
It could be any Dan. It
could be any Dan who hosts the Field Pass.
Now we're really, that's like 7 Dans with that I know.
Oh, negative blood.
The universal donor. Last topic, Josh, you wrote this down. I don't know if you want to sort of explain this. This is the last era of players who have been on a bad Illinois basketball team, and you said that is weird. I guess that makes sense.
It's a dangerous thing to say.
Was that you, Johnny,
that wrote that down?
Yeah,
that was me. Yeah. It's just, it's weird that coming next year, like, all of these guys are just going to experience Illinois basketball as being a good team, and hopefully, like, it will make me appreciate this team a little more, knowing that these guys kind of bought in before we were good. Trent and DeMonte, and even Kofi from a little bit of the start, like, saw the scars, and kind of us as fans can kind of relate to, like, thank you for believing in Illinois basketball when a lot of people didn't.
What game was he at? What game was
Florida Atlantic?
Florida Atlantic. Yes.
They'll never let that one go.
No, absolutely not.
In our 40 podcasts that we've probably recorded, that's been mentioned maybe 7 or 8 times.
It's important to acknowledge.
Brad loves to mention that one. Eastern Illinois, we lost to them in a scrimmage, you know.
With Coach Henson present.
Oh, God. Poor guy.
Poor guy.
Jeez. Was that in Springfield or in Eastern? Or it was
Charleston.
In Charleston. We've come a long way, folks. We've come a long way. Yeah, that is pretty crazy to think about it, you know, given our 4 or 5 years there, how bad they were.
Yeah, I think I'll feel great when I obviously feel great now, but I'll feel great when we, like, kind of fully turn over the roster and can hopefully keep this up and, like, these new guys are at the core. Because then it's not like you're not just, like, relying on Kofi and, like, it's like you've kind of built a stable program again.
Yeah, you're fully a program.
Yeah.
Like, we're still a couple of teams that have
continuous cash flow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But to me, though, like, you almost appreciate those early teams more because Io saw us when we were nothing. Like, Kofi saw us when he committed, we were not good. Even when Curbelo committed, we had not made the tournament. We were not even, like, a top 25 team. It was like, oh, here's this team that's returning Io and Kofi. Like, still hadn't really proven anything. But now, like, you look at the freshmen and all the kids we were recruiting, they're like, oh, yeah, Illinois basketball is, like, that's a consistently top 25 team. That was a one seed.
Yeah. God, I'm so ready to get hurt again. I have absolutely no recollection of anything that happened last year. I'm so ready. Anything else? Anything else, gentlemen? Anything else before we get out of here? I know we really covered the St. Francis game from tip to tip.
This might be shocking to you guys, but the volleyball team is receiving votes. Did you guys know
really,
that?
Really, Josh? Josh and I have a little debate ongoing about whether or not Chris Thomas is a good coach. So,
hey. They're receiving votes. Did I say they were ranked? I said they're receiving votes.
You know what? When you plan a conference like that, all you need to do is make the tournament, which they're going to do, and then make a deep run, very confident in Chris and his girls.
Yeah, no, I actually did laugh because I actually don't think he believes should be on the hot seat, anything like that. But someone did want to make that a whole entire post and wrote like a soliloquy on why Chris Thomas should be fired. It was on Atlanta Inquirer. So credit to that person.
Oh my God, was it you?
I swear it wasn't me.
It was the guy who complained about the Illinois or the men's tennis tournament configuration.
1634. Excellent. All right. I think with the season, I mean, the season started by all means. So we'll try to get into more of a regular pattern now and start cranking out some episodes. So certainly get ready for Volume 2, Season 2 of The Boardroom. We are very, very excited to bring some content to you all this season. We're really looking forward to a fun season. But we got to get out of here. Thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.